5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, the final hour of the day. Few hours ahead yet of the All-Star game. Kind of. Okay, it's something. It's all right, you know. But Jade, you're pumped for it. I know. I can just see it, man. You're a baseball guy. The All-Star game is cool for you. We're going to end this thing in a home run derby if it's a tie after or instead of extra innings, we're going to go for a home run derby, and that's weird, but you're into it. I can tell. I can just tell.
Yeah, and like I said before, I mean, it's really just the pitching matchups. I am not expecting a lot of offense this game.
So you think low-scoring game, man. Take the under? What's the under in this one? Do you know?
I have no idea. I would say if I had to guess.
Let's take a look at it.
I mean, I don't really.
Take a guess. What's the under? What's the over-under here? Give me a guess.
Like 6-5.
7-5.
7-5.
So you weren't that far away.
I was thinking that the final is going to be like 3-4 in favor of the American League.
I could see something like that.
Like, because there's always that one player who hits a home run.
So you're going to go with the pitchers win the battle tonight?
I think so.
More of a low-scoring game, which I'd be a fan of.
I mean, but really, see, it's tricky because, like, what do they have to throw for?
Yeah.
Like, what's...
Right, you're not going to go all in. That's why it's like, I know you're excited about the pitching battles, but I don't see these guys... I mean, how many pitches is Kershaw going to throw?
They'll probably each throw like 2 innings,
maybe. Yeah. Then you're not getting in the groove. I don't know, man. I might take that over.
It's probably smart. But I think the only people that are actually going to compete for something are those who are in contract years.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have something to prove. And if you're going up against the best, you
baseball
might as well.
Is the sport that it seems like you can prove more in the All-Star Week. Like the home run derby, you're talking about Soto. Well, did that actually improve his stock? I think a lot of people believe it did. I mean, watch the Pro Bowl. Nobody's out there thinking that Tyrann Mathieu is going to earn a contract by how great he plays. Baseball does seem like we pay attention to the All-Star game a little bit more because you're still playing baseball at the end of the day. You can only pull back so much if you're playing baseball. So it is kind of a sport that opens itself up to this kind of, I don't know, it doesn't have a lot of meaning, but more meaning than the rest. Because the rest, like basketball, you cannot play defense. Like you can just let him go by you and dunk it. Football, same way. Baseball, guy hits a fly ball out to left field, you're going for it. Like you're not pulling back as much. Pitchers maybe. Pitchers might pull back a little bit. I might like that over tonight. I might take that over. I get where you're coming from with it, but 7.5's not much. Like, what'd you say you think the score might be?
4-3.
So I just need a half a point in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't know. You were pretty close on your home run derby.
If you're MVP, you know, you do win a car. So you have that to look forward to.
That's true. Yeah. And a lot of these younger guys, you know, they're not at those massive contracts just yet. Maybe a car would be really good.
Julio Rodriguez, be MVP too.
Yeah, go for it. So you're at 7. So I think that's close enough for me to feel confident and over. I think it's confident. I'm confident there. All right, Jades, we got to get to it, my friend. Today in the NFL, we continue our AFC West preview, position by position. Who's going to have the best position grouping overall when we break this thing down? To summarize again, I have the Broncos. They have the best running back group, the worst tight end group, the third best wide receiver core, and the third best offensive line, third best quarterback. So if you want to average it out, I have the Broncos probably right around third on the offensive side of the ball. I don't feel good about that. We got to make up for it on the defensive side here, and I'm focusing on safeties today. And we look no further than we start with the Denver Broncos, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson. I'm just primarily talking about the starting two safeties, the strong safety, the free safety. Justin Simmons comes in, according to Pro Football Focus, he's ranked 16th out of 92 safeties. So pretty good. But they have Kareem Jackson at 84th out of 92. Really? Dang, man. That's tough. I don't know that I'd go quite there, but He was better in 2020, obviously. He had moments in 2021, but probably wasn't his best year. According to Pro Football Focus, 76 total tackles, 24 receptions allowed on 32 targets. That's 75% allowed. He had one pick, one sack. Is he regressing? I mean, he's almost 35 years old. He's getting there. He's getting to his mid-30s. But I still like Kareem Jackson. I liked that move to keep him in Denver. He keeps testing out free agent markets, and he's not liking what's out there, so he keeps coming back to Denver. Justin Simmons, soundly wise, he's just a consistently good safety. He's not, I don't know that he's this monster playmaking safety that you're really hoping for, where you can just say, hey, you got a nose for the ball, man. We're going to put you in some crazy different zones and just have you run around and do your thing. I don't know that he's there, but he's a sound safety. He's good. So I like the Bronco safety core. I don't feel as confident as I did 2 years ago that they were one of the top duos in the league. Don't feel that way anymore. Kareem Jackson has taken that big of a step back. But Justin Simmons, again, he's really good. He's a solid safety. Go over to the Chargers, and we keep talking about this Chargers depth chart, man. They're just solid everywhere. Derwin James, their strong safety. Pro Football Focus has him in the top 10, rightfully so. He's got to be the best safety in this division now. Drafted in 19, so still fairly young. Last year, 76 tackles, 35 receptions, 35, he only allowed 35 receptions on 58 targets, so 60% allowed. He had two picks, three forced fumbles, three sacks. So he had game-changing plays where you're not seeing that as much from Justin Simmons. Simmons had five interceptions. But again, watching as much Broncos football as I have, some of those interceptions were kind of those almost punt return type interceptions where you just got to be there and almost fair catch the damn thing. So Derwin James, certainly a stud. Nazir Alderley, a free safety for this team. He's right in the middle of the pack when it comes to free safeties. He's not the worst, though. He's middle of the road. He's average. So you got the best and average. That probably gets you in a pretty good spot as far as our top four rankings here. Let's move over to the Raiders. Jonathan Abram, he's just not good anymore. You know, he's not a solid safety overall. I got his numbers here. 79 total tackles. Again, stats are really tough to assess safeties. You know, even cornerbacks, it's tough to assess. He gave up 54 receptions on 68 targets, 79% of the time allowed. One interception, one sack. He's not moving the needles. Trayvon Moehrig, the free safety for the Raiders, he's pretty good. He was a second round pick in 2021. He's all right. Don't think I'm not putting the Raiders over the Broncos at this point. And the Chiefs, obviously, without the Honey Badger, you know, Thornhill and Reed, strong safety and free safety. Reed was much better 3 years ago than he is now, but he has not been anything close to the safety they thought they were signing up for. Thornhill, I need to see way more out of that guy. Here's where I'm going with this as we wrap this thing up. Chargers, they have the best safety in this division in Derwin James. That raises, it's like the Travis Kelce on the tight end side of the tight end side of things. He raises them up that much. So I'm going to go with the Chargers with the best safety group in the AFC West. Then by default, and Justin Simmons, I'm going to say the Broncos are number two. I'm sitting at the Broncos at number two, and the Raiders at three. I think the Chiefs have the worst. I mean, the Chiefs aren't a good defensive team, so it's not going to be a big shock when we break through these positions that the Chiefs are last or third in most of the breakdowns. So Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, and Chiefs. Not bad. Not bad for Denver to start things off on our defensive breakthrough breakdowns. Because they didn't have any position group above number two, other than running backs, on the offensive side of the ball. So this is a big deal to start out as we analyze this. And again, it's not the end-all be-all. My rankings are my rankings, but they do stack up pretty well with our Broncos insider, who makes a living just covering the Broncos. So that's not bad to be there for your safeties. Kareem Jackson kind of brings down that average. And, you know, you hope that Justin Simmons can really be a playmaking safety going into next season. I'm going to break down the cornerbacks tomorrow. I think the Broncos are going to fare pretty well there, too. Be curious to see, you know, once we kind of really delve into it, look at your top three guys. You know, I'm going to look at your two studs and then your nickel guy, maybe go into the dime a little bit more. But safeties, I just stuck with the two main guys, the free safety and the starting strong safety as well. 16 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. We'll talk about the poll question a little bit more in Nathaniel Hackett and, you know, what kind of guy is he and can he handle all of this fame with Russell Wilson? His first coaching job, he just jumps right into a situation where he's got one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. On paper, that looks like an easy way to start things off, but let's not forget whose team this is. It's Russell Wilson's team. That's a new thing for a new head coach to come in, try to assert themselves, and yet it's not your team first. It's the quarterback's team first. So we'll talk about that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Glad you could be with us here. Our first Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. You guys got to try cables if you haven't been in a while, or maybe you went last week. Go again, dude. Just go again. Locally owned and operated since 1972. They have amazing specials going on. You know what Tuesday is. All about burger madness. You cannot go wrong. $9.99 burger madness. Man, their cheeseburgers, their gourmet burgers are absolutely delicious. Haven't had a bad meal there, but you know, I'm more of a burger guy. I used to be more of a pizza guy back in the day, but definitely becoming more of a burger guy. So I do know that Cable's Pub and Grill, they get it right. Stop in, tell them we sent you. Hear from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. All right, I'm going to get into the Nathaniel Hackett thing in the next segment. But we're building up. We're talking about, you know, Mountain West Media Days, Big Sky Conference Media Days. What's it going to look like for Ed McCaffrey's crew going forward? You know, that was such a big-time hire by the Bears as far as marketing. You know, we all wondered how good of a football guy is Ed. You know, he obviously an amazing football player back in the day. Won a title with Valor Christian. You know, not taking anything away from that, but Valor Christian, that's kind of what they do, right, Jades? They win football titles. That's what they do. You know who we're talking about the defense. I was talking to Aaron Rath today and Blake Olson, Aaron's been there, but our kind of our new collective play-by-play color commentary football broadcast crew. And Aaron was like, dude, that defense is going to be ridiculous. And we're going to talk about the defense a little bit more next week. But I agree. Everything I hear is really good. David Hogue is a stud. Our boy Brooks Talkington is out there. He's a defensive lineman. He's a fantastic player. I do agree. Defense is going to be good. They were good last year, too. Coach Darnell, Scott Darnell, is an amazing defensive coordinator. Good guy. They got it loaded up. But, I mean, doesn't this still all come down to what your quarterback position looks like, your quarterback situation looks like? Dylan McCaffrey, great dude. Love the guy. We obviously know what he was capable of. Last year, his numbers were pretty rotten, dude. I mean, that's just, there is no getting around it. You know, the transfer from Michigan, we all said, dude, was he a four-star? You got a four-star quarterback transfer from Michigan. Even if his name wasn't Dylan, we would have said, that was the biggest transfer that UNC's ever had in their existence. And last year was rough. I mean, Jades, we're just going through numbers here. You know, as far as yards go last year, Dylan was 10th out of 12th in the conference. He threw for just a little north of 1,300 yards. His average per game, he threw 133 yards per game. Five touchdowns to seven interceptions. His completion percentage was 60. Kind of in the middle of the group there, but really there was nobody that was lighting it up as far as completion percentage. The best in the league was Eastern Washington's quarterback at 65%. So a lot of this does come down to, you know, just how good can Dylan McCaffrey be? And I saw him in the spring game, Jades, and now the spring game, as you know, is you can't hit the quarterback. He's got a red jersey on. You don't touch the quarterbacks. So you're not really worried about them getting hurt or anything. But as you heard, we broadcasted that, and I was a part of that broadcast. Dylan didn't play. He played one possession. They went down and scored on it. But you certainly still stepped back, and I said, well, why didn't we see more of Dylan in this situation? You know, why haven't we seen that? He missed out on spring ball all of last year, and that includes the practices. But he didn't play in that actual scrimmage. Now, this year, he did play in the scrimmage for a little bit. He was certainly there for practices. So I know that's bigger than the actual spring game. You know, what's more important is the practices, for sure. But was there, I mean, I was just, I took a step back and I said, why didn't he play? I mean, why wasn't he getting more looks? Is that, you know, Aaron was telling me today, he's like, well, I think they know exactly what they have with him. But I guess I was like, well, yeah, but last year it was, he didn't participate in all the spring stuff because he didn't get here until the fall camp stuff. I guess I just looked at it and said, well, if that was such a big loss to not have him in spring, shouldn't he be as a big a part of all of the spring festivities and everything, including the game? And again, he looked sharp, but you can't hit him, so you're not worried about injuries. But his numbers were pretty rough last year. So can we see, you know, Max McCaffrey, the offensive coordinator? We know that was an interesting move last year. And I like, listen, Max, they're all great guys. I'm rooting for them like crazy. But there's a lot of for people to be skeptical. I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to sit here and blame you if you're skeptical from what you saw last year. This offense didn't explode. They weren't a good offense last year. You know, as far as passing goes, they just weren't there. Defensively, they were a much better team defensively. But as far as running the ball, they didn't have, you know, Gene Sledge for him last year was probably in the top 10 as far as yardage and stuff. But, you know, we're not sitting here going absolutely crazy about the offensive production. And here we are again, we're touting the defense. And there's no problem with that. I like a defensive-minded football team. This team's probably going to go as far as the defense carries them, but it would, I think a lot of people will feel better going forward here about the turnaround for the Bears if you felt really good about Dylan. Dylan's got the makeup, my goodness, of a stud quarterback. Ridiculously tall, heck of an arm. Can they put it together? Can the McCaffreys work together to make this thing work in Greeley? Just football has not been relevant. And listen, we love the Bears. We're the KFK is the proud voice of the UNC Bears. But make no mistake about it, basketball has carried this thing for a very long time. You're waiting desperately to see, can somebody turn this thing around? Ernest Collins Jr. was given so much time to try to change the dynamics here. And can you bring winning culture to this place that, let's face it, is not really built up to be this monster of a football program like the Montanas and the Montana States? That's not an easy thing to do either. You know, they don't have lights. They just now got the new workout facility. I mean, they just now got the new turf field. Their facilities weren't anywhere close to what their biggest competitors were able to work with in the Big Sky. So it is a difficult task to try to build this thing up. And I know, listen, I spent a lot of time with Coach McCaffrey last spring. And I've been trying, you know, I'm going to try to get out to practice once a week. Once we get into the fall mode here, you better believe it. I want to say that this thing is going to work. And the coaches do it. You go out there, Coach McCaffrey comes up, says hi, and hey, we're working. We're putting the work in, man. We're putting the work in. Coach Darnell's out there, Max McCaffrey. I mean, great people that you're really hoping can make it work. And here's the other thing. Like, I don't know that there's pressure on Ed McCaffrey. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that there's the same kind of pressure that there is on Carl Durrell and even Jay Norvell down the road. I've said this from the beginning, and I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing, but grow with Ed. You know, you dealt with bad football for a very long time. Grow with Ed McCaffrey, because you were willing to put up with it with Ernest Collins Jr., who had college football coaching experience, and it just never worked. I think he had 2 seasons of 6 wins. Grow with Ed McCaffrey. Grow with these guys. Go with them through the learning, you know, the growing period. How many did they win last year? 3 games? They win 3? They had 1 game improvement from Ernest Collins Jr.'s last year. I know that. So are you a little bit, you know, 5 wins? Would 5 wins change things up a little bit? They 3 wins? So this Big Sky Conference preview that I was checking out from the College Sports Journal from a listener of the show, Ben Schlager, put this together. And he kind of has the Bears as being one of the bad teams again. You know, and I want to get into this more as we continue to progress with our football previews and everything. But he the bottom six is what he's calling it in the Big Sky Conference. And he's saying certainly the Bears are right there in that mix of bad teams. You know, what can they do to change things around? They brought in a couple of good transfer running backs, a really good transfer linebacker out of Navy that Aaron and I were talking about today. So that's a big deal. He has them going 5-6. 3-5 in the conference. You go 5-6, and I think that that's a breath of fresh air. Do you think? Considering, now 5-6 is still a losing record, but they were nowhere really close to that for the most part of Ernest Collins Jr.'s career with the Bears. They had a lot of drama, a lot of disappointment, and a lot of quote-unquote dysfunction. I mean, there was dysfunction, whether you want to buy into all the stuff from the Greeley Tribune and what Jaden Watson Fisher put together in that report. It's a new coach who's new to college football. I mean, he might have been the best high school football coach ever, but the brass tacks of the situation is this is his first year as a head, or, well, first stint as a head coach in college, as a coach in college. So I am of the mindset, you know, pressure's kind of off right now. He's got several years to try to turn this thing around. I know you're paying him a lot, compared to what you pay other coaches. But, you know, if he can increase excitement again this year, but you got to start delivering at some point. But I always throw the caveat out there. Those of you that are, well, I got to get it right, or what's the point? Yeah, but they put up with it with Ernest Collins Jr. for what, 9 years? Again, the pay scale was different. But I don't know that they're ready to blow him out the door if he struggles this year. I think it's going to be improved season. The schedule's much easier for UNC. I'm so ready for it, man. I'm a UNC alum. I'm a Bear. I love college football. I love local college football. I've grown to love local college football more than ever before. And so when I say that I'm passionate about it and I really want it to work, and when I, you know, I am a fan. I'm not one of those snooty reporters. Oh, you can't celebrate. No, man. Ed McCaffrey, dude. I think you like drink green tea, but if you like win the Big Sky title, I will split a green tea with you, my friend. You better believe it. I will raise a green tea with you, and we'll enjoy a Big Sky Conference championship. No, I'm all about it, man. I got into this industry to have fun and to talk about sports. So I would love to see this program grow. I'd love to see it get to that point. Maybe this is the year we start to see that turnaround. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
mega conferences may be something that, you know, we all have to deal with in the future. I think, you know, probably, you know, money probably drives a lot of this. I can't blame people for that. It's sort of above my pay grade, though, to know, you know, what we should do as a league in the SEC or what any other league should do. But I think as we progress forward, the mega conference, you know, will create, you know, a little more of a caste system maybe in college football. And I think everybody's got to decide if that's the direction we really want to go or not.
There's Alabama head coach Nick Saban. Something else in that interview, too, that clip on ESPN. He brought up the fact that, I mean, could you get into, again, he's saying that the reality probably is you're going to be dealing with these mega conferences, and it's more of a caste system where this is it. This is like the NFL. This is what we do. There's no, you know, Notre Dame out being free willy. There's no group of five conferences. This is what it is. It becomes miniature NFL. He brought up the fact that, he said something like, for the haves, he said it's good. Alabama obviously being a have, and he acknowledged that. I have no problem with him, his comments there. He said for the have-nots, it's probably going to be a situation where, what happens to you? What happens to CSU? Let's face it, does CSU have or have not? They're have not. Boise State, they're a have in the conference. It is what it is. Now, it's not like Boise State's a big and popular have, but they're a have. Saban's basically saying, hey, the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. They'll go away. He did bring up something interesting, like in soccer. What is it in the, I don't know what the, is it me? Is the professional soccer league. It's like I was watching Ted Lasso. This is where I get my soccer knowledge, so bear with me. If Ted Lasso's team, you've seen that, haven't you? You haven't seen Ted Lasso yet? Wait, you're not a soccer fan? You're not American? Oh, wait. They have to win out a certain amount of games. Otherwise, they drop out of the pro ranks and they move down a notch. So essentially semi-pro or whatever. Well, you can re-earn your way back in the next year. You just have to not be the worst team. He brought up that. Like, that could be something in college football where you have your mega conferences and then you have these guys working their way in. And listen, I can't even get my brain around how that would possibly, like, what that would even look like. But I just, what drives me nuts, and he says caste system, like, make it one size fits all. This is it. This is the SEC. This is the Big 12 or Big 10 or whatever it is. Two monster conferences, and we got 16 teams here, 16 teams here, 20 teams here, 20 teams here, 40 teams. And then what's the rest? How many college football teams are there in Division I FBS? Hundreds? What are there, 12 conferences? 11? So what does that do with the rest? I don't even know, you know, again, how that works, if you could work your way back in. This is why the money won't be split. I want to pull my hair out. You know, when I think of, well, they just won't expand the playoffs because it's going to hurt their bottom line. They won't expand. They won't put every conference having a rep into the playoffs because it's going to hurt their bottom line. The big teams and the big conferences, bottom line, they don't want to share that pie, which, again, maybe they're right because the top 30, the haves, as Nick Saban said, will all be fine. They're all going to eat. The rest, who knows? How many teams are
there? 350.
350. So you're thinking, what, 40 or 50 teams probably. Is that same right? Or 100 teams maybe? 100 teams survive this? And again, that's just the gloom and doom report for you. That maybe 100 teams go on and be a part of this mega conference. And then the rest are all FCS, or Division I FBS 2. Is that where you're sitting? You know, I've talked about that a lot. It's certainly slowed down a little bit, though. The Big 12 and Pac 12, what are they, Jade, you were reading, they've shut her down for now. They're not going to partner in any capacity. They've already said that. Big 12 and Pac 12, according to ESPN, won't partner as talks officially end. Talks about a partnership between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 have officially ended, according to ESPN reports this morning. No longer interested in exploring a partnership. A Big 12 source said that the deal didn't work for the conference for a multitude of reasons, which included the fact that any potential deal wouldn't have driven much revenue for the league. It just didn't work. And that's the thing. Like, if you are a Big 12 and you're looking at bringing a team in, can you bring more in than I'm willing to, than we're willing to split? Because we don't want to split the pie more ways. Because none of the teams are going to sign off on cutting out some of their pie. That's if you want to break this thing down to what the real meat and potatoes of is the, of this situation, when the Big Ten took on, now that we're seeing these other conferences take the Big Ten taking on these other teams, it's can you bring more to the bottom line than we're going to have to dish out? That's it. I mean, there's a lot more to it. But that's basically what it comes down to. If I look at your football program and your school as a whole, and I'm the Big Ten, none of my teams want to split any of the pie. We want to bring more in. If you can bring more of your own in and then add that to the pot, great. That's where we're looking to grow. And if you're the Big 12, didn't make sense with the Pac-12. Not going to bring any more deals in or any kind of joint partnership. Now, that doesn't mean the Big 12's done poaching teams, or the Big 10 even. According to ESPN, again, a Pac-12 source briefed on the conversation said that the Big 12 had expressed interest on Friday in possibly exploring a full merger. The Big 12 source said of the three options laid out by the Pac-12, pooling rights, a scheduling concept, or fully combining the leagues, the only scenario that could have potentially driven value because of the sheer numbers of schools and population areas was a full merger of the leagues. Yeah, I didn't really get the whole joint TV deals that they were talking about. If they're not going to be the same conference, like how do you split that up? Because one conference and group of teams is going to bring more ratings in and more dollars in and more advertising dollars in than the other one. Big 12 would bring in more than the Pac-12. How do you justify, oh, well, we all split this up, though. Here's our TV deal. Is it like 70-30? It's going to be crazy. You know, it just continues to be very, very interesting with all the Pac-12 stuff. And again, this impacts, I don't know that this ultimately impacts UNC Bears, like FCS stuff, but this does impact the Mountain West. Because if we continue on with this process of basically everybody's jumping on the train, those four, if you say four power conferences left, then Pac-12's out, Pac-12 dissolves, those teams are looking to go somewhere. Can CSU and the Mountain West, can they exist in this world where you're just going to continue raising Big 12, Pac-12, or not Pac-12, Big 10, SEC, all these monster conferences up? Can the other ones find any room at the table? 48 minutes after the hour. Let's see, texter here. Oh, 124 FBS teams and 126 FCS teams. So there you go. Short break coming up. We'll get to what's on the tube tonight. You can guess it. We got all-star action. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
One 1:53 the time. Welcome back in. Weld Works, They've got Dialed In Beer, Dialed In Food. Every single Friday, they're releasing another beer, too. So stop by Weldworks, nice and cool inside. Take advantage of that that deal on a double cheeseburger, man. Their double cheeseburgers are amazing. And polish it off with a Juicy Bits. I mean, that beer, I'll tell you what, I wasn't like a big IPA guy for a while. And then started going to Weldworks more. That's all I drink. I was like doing the darker stuff for a while. That sounds disgusting to me. Now I'm like all about the IPAs and what they're doing at Weldworks, man. Absolutely delicious. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. All right, what do you got tonight? Not that it really matters at all, the American League or the National League. I'm pulling for the National League because the Rockies are in the National League. Kershaw's going... Was he go two innings, three innings? I'm taking the over on this one. I've decided, by the way, Jades. I've now decided we're going to go. You think there's going to be seven runs, which would be relatively a relatively low scoring game in an all-star game, but the over-under is 7.5.
Yeah, the wise guys just put it right at the net margin where it's like one run can decide it.
Yeah,
for me.
That's the thing. I think we get some runs tonight. I know you're excited about the pitching matchups, but I just think that these guys don't care. If there's one position where you're not maybe doing your absolute best in an all-star game, I got to think it's going to be the pitching. Because these guys are always trying to reserve their arms. They don't want to get a boo-boo or anything like that. The rest of the guys, you know, you have no choice but to hit the ball. You have no choice but to run after on the defensive side. But I think we're going to see some runs tonight. That's my prediction. Hammer the over 7.5. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.